The harp is the instrument that angels play, you know. So it's great to have you here and to be able to grace us with your music and bring us into the presence of God through that beautiful piece of music. And thank you, Ford and Jessica, for your reading as well. At this time, we're going to have our kids' dismissal. We have kids' church going on this morning. And it is from JK to grade 6. So if you want to go, you can go right out the back center door at this time. You can stay here if you want, but there is kids' church happening now, and we have teachers waiting. So and we are in part 2 of our series that is called God with Us. Emmanuel, God with Us. And we're going to be talking about how the Word of God, the Word became flesh, that God is among us. And we're thankful that God was born as a baby and came to this earth and accomplished the great work of the cross. And I want to start with the verse that we started with last week, which is from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and it says this: Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means, let's say it aloud, God with us. So again, this morning we are talking about peace. And this isn't just a peace that's forever in eternity, even though that's what it is. It's also a peace for today that starts right here with us in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the hope that you give us through Christmas, Lord, that we can take the next few weeks to be able to reflect on you and be able to prepare our hearts to truly remember all that you have done for us. Lord, thank you that we can take time at the end of a busy year to be able to learn more about you, be able to set our hearts on you and our minds upon your word. Lord, we pray that we would be filled with peace this morning, a peace that passes all understanding for every situation, for every part of our lives. We welcome you here, Lord. We pray that you would fill this place, fill our hearts. We open our hearts and our ears to be able to learn, to be able to hear from your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are going to be starting off with a scripture reading, and you can turn with your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. And also, if you want to look up John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23, we're going to be starting off reading those, and I'm going to invite my son Josiah up. He is going to be starting us off reading this first scripture this morning. So again, starting with Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, we do have it on PowerPoint as well if you need to follow along there, but it's always nice following along with your Bibles as well. So,
therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women to have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
And we're going to continue reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. I'm going to be reading on the PowerPoint. John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. This is when Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." This is the word of the Lord. Well, last week we were talking about hope, and I ended the service by saying something like this: whether we are on a mountaintop or in the valley, whether we're in a crowded street or in an empty desert, in our hope, in our waiting, we are never alone. Why? Because God is with us. He fills us with hope, and he fills us with peace as well. He's always with us. Everywhere we are, right? There's nowhere we can go where he isn't with us. That's awesome to think about. Now, peace is in fact one of the fruit of the Spirit. And as we implement the fruit of peace in our lives, there's incredible things that are produced from that. It's not the fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit. We have this. We all have this as children of God. Peace is produced. And this peace, it's not a weakness. It's actually a strength. And this peace actually causes us, if you will, to run to the battle, not run away from any kind of battle. Amen? God's peace is profound. And I'm sure that many of us have lived our lives without it. But in the days that we're living in, it's one of the most precious commodities on the face of the earth. God never uses fear. He always uses peace. If you have it, the devil will try to steal it from you. And if you don't have it, the devil will try to keep it from you. And praise the Lord, this peace is for every one of us, every believer. The peace that God gives is an abiding, internal peace. The peace of the world, it's fragile, it's elusive, it's circumstantial. And it's hard to get and it's easy to lose. Peace is how God guides us. In October, I spoke about how we're led by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the number one things that the Holy Spirit puts in our hearts, is peace. We can know that we are being led by God when he gives us his peace in the middle of any situation or decision, no matter how big or small it is. Colossians 3:15 says this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." I love how it says "and be thankful" at the end of that. We are called to peace and be thankful. Now, when this was written and throughout the Bible, it was filled with chronicles of violence between nations and tribes, between rivals of powers of influence, between believers in the Lord and worshipers of false gods. Peace was very much on our minds, as even today, as we deal on the war of terrorism. Yet in such a world of violence, it's no wonder that the prophets of Israel longed for one who would bring peace in the troubled world. The nation of Judah lived in a constant threat from powerful neighbors. And peace would never come just by default. It would take a great leader to bring it about. And that's what they were looking for, a leader who could rule the nation with justice, with wisdom, whose wisdom could strengthen it against its enemies. And whenever a new king came to the throne of David, high were the hopes that the king would be the one, the anointed one of God, the Messiah, who could make the nation prosperous and secure its peace. It was perhaps a time, the coronation of a new young ruler, that Isaiah gave the vision of the Prince of Peace. And I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and verses 6 and 7. And it's amazing to read this side of the birth of Christ, but also this side of the cross. Knowing what we know has already happened in history. But this was hundreds of years before Jesus came as a baby. And Isaiah chapter 9 says this: "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Now, some people think that peace can come about if people would just agree to get along. World peace. But people are people, and not everyone wants to get along. That's why the United Nations, if you will, have been so ineffective. There's no getting along with many people and leaders in this world, of the likes of Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden. Men whose name have become household names of oppression, of torture, and of genocide. There's only one way the human spirit will ever know peace, and that's to recognize that there's greater authority than our wants, our ambitions, and our desires. And there is a greater authority or government than our flesh. That's what people were looking for a natural outcome, for a king to come and rule. But its authority is over the spirit. It's something that is lasting. It's something that's forever. Praise the Lord. Why? Because if you get this right, everything else falls in line. The flesh falls in line. Like that old question. I don't know I remember being asked it when I was a child. If you could have one thing, if you could pick one thing, if you could have all the riches in the world, or if you could have be the best looking person in the world, or if you could have wisdom, what would you choose? Has anyone ever asked that when they were young? You remember the question? Have you ever heard of that question? And we know that wisdom is, I want to say, the right answer. Wisdom can bring about some of those other things. It can bring riches. Riches, there's lots of unhappiness that can come with riches. And good looks does not bring happiness either. But wisdom is what we should be looking for. And God knew exactly what he was doing in sending his son as a humble servant, to be born in a manger, to be an example to all of us of humility and of love. It's not a forced, hey, you do it my way or else. No, it's opening up a way to have a connection with God, to have relationship with God. Again, Jesus made a way for all of that, and we are so thankful. Now, as we learn to lay aside our self-centeredness and obey the word of the Lord, we will know true peace. And the word of God, it must go forth from the body of Christ as a worshiping church, a teaching church, a sharing church, a caring church. And Jesus gave us, his church, the assignment to spread the way of peace. And we're going to be talking a bit about that later on in this message. But world peace has always been elusive. Now, the Society of International Law in London states, get this, in the last 4,000 years, there have been only 268 years of world peace. 85% of all history concerns itself with war. In all the years, over 8,000 peace treaties were made, and 8,000 were broken. Because true peace is not found outside of the human heart, but instead it's found inside through a relationship with the Creator, our God. Peace is not a state of mind or a circumstance in nature. If you will, it's a condition of the heart. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's a gift from our loving God. Amen? Amen. And we all know that when our heart is out of kilter, then our peace is out of kilter. With God and with man. Man was made to worship his Creator. And if we're out of sync with God, then we'll never have true peace in our souls. Because real peace, it consists not in the absence of danger, but instead in the presence of God. Real peace consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Now, this morning, we are going to be looking at three kinds of peace for us as Christian believers. Now, first, we're going to look at upward peace, which is the peace with God. Before peace can come on one's life, there has to be a transformation of character, and that comes through accepting Jesus, through the birth, the new birth in Jesus. It's a deep, abiding righteousness, knowing that we are made perfect in the image of God. Now, knowing that we are one with God, that God has forgiven us of all of our sins. That's where peace with God starts. I said this in a sermon during the summer, but I wanted to bring this up again. There's a bumper sticker that I remember seeing when I was younger, and it said, "No Jesus, no peace." And then right underneath, it said, "No Jesus, no peace." Now, that's not only a clever bumper sticker, but it's actually biblically accurate. Amen? Our whole world, it turns to so many different things. From pills to promiscuity to self-help programs and many others. But some turn to God. Some suggested that 5 million people go to sleep at night with a sleeping pill. Now, I even heard of one man who was apparently so addicted to his sleeping pills that he set his alarm for 12 midnight to wake up and take another pill. And get this, I was amazed to learn that the number one reason for medication or even doctor's appointments in the world, you know what it is? Stress. It's stress. But God didn't make us to live with stress and anxiety. He designed us to live in peace, to have a deep residing peace no matter what's going on in the world around us. And this is an important message in today's day and age. I could say that every year, right? John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Now, once we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior and are repented of our sins and are faithful to him in Christian living, that's when we discover the beginning of true peace. It's an upward peace. It's no longer estranged from God, and we're no longer separated from God. Ephesians 2, 14 to 17 says this, "For he himself is our peace, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near." I love that. Jesus preached to people, he preached peace to people who were far from him, but he also preached peace to those who were close to him. How many of us here remember a battle that we went through where we needed to trust God? Just like I was talking about the trapeze artist last week, the person who lets go has to stay still and wait to be caught by the catcher. The flyer doesn't try to catch the catcher. They wait still, knowing that they will be caught. Romans 5, verses 1 to 2 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." So I ask you this morning, have you found this peace? It starts by asking Jesus into your life, by making him our Lord and Savior. And then it needs to be a continual following of Christ. Because Jesus didn't come just to make converts, he came to make disciples. Again, this is an upward peace with God, knowing that we are made righteous in his sight. Next, I want to talk about an inward peace, and this is the peace of God. This is the peace that comes when we face dark and hard times as Christians. Peace to live with ourselves and no matter what the circumstances are. Like I said, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, on a busy street corner or in the desert. We can have a deep residing the peace of God within us. I want to tell you a story of Danny Simpson, who is a 24-year-old Canadian, and in 1990, he went to jail for robbing a bank in Ottawa. He actually got 6 years, which means he's out now. But when he robbed this bank in 1990, after he robbed it and went to jail, get this, his gun went to a museum. He was arrested for robbing a bank of $6,000 and then sent to jail for 6 years. He had used a .45 caliber Colt semi-automatic, which turned out to be an antique made by the Ross Rifle Company from Quebec City in 1918. Now get this, the pistol itself was worth $100,000. If Danny Simpson had have known what he held right in his hands, he wouldn't have robbed that bank. Or in other words, Danny Simpson already had what he needed. He should have sold it on eBay. The reason I tell that story is because there are so many Christians in the world today who are searching for peace and not knowing that they already have what they need in their hearts and in their hands. Just like we read from the beginning from Philippians, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever thought of the peace of God as your guard? No matter what we're dealing with or going through, whether it's small or whether it's huge, or it might even be life-altering, the peace of God can guard our hearts and our minds if we allow it to. When you put God and His Word first, the fruit of the Spirit is already there. It bubbles up. It goes to work, if you will. In any situation. Now, I want to take a moment and think about Mary and Joseph. Because Mary and Joseph, they're two people, two great examples, if you will, of complete trust in our Lord, in God. As an angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would not, that she would have a baby, what must have been going through her mind? Not only was she unmarried and likely worried about her parents and neighbors, what they would think, but she was engaged to be married and would likely be wondering how Joseph would take this news. And Mary's total trust in God and to have a peaceful mind is such a beautiful display. We see it in her response when she said this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Isn't that a beautiful response? Not out of fear. Instead saying, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said." Now for Joseph, how angry must he have been to hear that the woman that he was that he was planning on marrying was expecting a baby, knowing that he was not the father. And it is said that Joseph was a righteous man and that he was planning on canceling the engagement quietly. When the angel of the Lord revealed the truth to him in a dream, he believed what was told to him and took Mary as his wife. Isn't that a beautiful story of God's peace? I can't imagine what they must have known, what they were still facing. But inside of them, they knew the truth. What God was calling them to do. If you will, it's a peace that transcends all understanding. And again, we're talking about a peace that the world cannot comprehend. And it may be something that we don't always understand. And do we have to understand it? No, we don't. Why? Because it says the peace of God that passes, transcends all understanding. We don't have to understand it, but it will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 3:16 says this, "Now may the God of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way." Isn't that awesome? We can have the peace of God at all times and in every way, in every situation. Isaiah 26:3 says this, "God will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Now, sometimes it's hard work to keep that peace, right? Because the world can scream fear and doubt. And we need to remain in God's word. Why? Because the presence of God is the absence of fear. And that's awesome to think about. That we have the peace of God. No matter what situation, no matter what our world looks like, But we need to go after it. We need to welcome it into our hearts. And that's why we're here this morning, to simply open up our hearts, surrender our hearts, and say, Lord, fill me with your peace. And this takes us to our third place where peace shows up, and that is with outward peace. And this is the peace to one another, peace with one another. If you will, it comes when we face our friends, our family, our work, co-workers. A non-Christian can no more produce the peace of God in their home, if you will, than a chicken can bark like a dog. Why? It won't happen, because it comes from a different root. Because we're made body, soul, and spirit. And peace is produced from inside of us, from the peace of God within our spirit. That's where the root of it is. And once we find a common root in Christ, we should be peace to all people. And that does mean getting along with people, even in the middle of hard circumstances or hard situations. Now, I want to read this scripture, but I read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 to 24, may I say that we have all missed it in this situation. So we can learn and change and grow from reading this scripture. So as I read this, let it go deep with inside of you. 2 Timothy 2, 23 to 24 says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Now, this was the Apostle Paul that wrote this in the book of Timothy. He actually wrote it to Timothy while he was in prison. If you will, the Apostle Paul airs the dirty laundry of the church to show how devastating it is when there's disunity and disharmony within. And this goes for pastors of churches as well, everywhere. Satan wins when pastors use the pulpit to try to defend themselves. Why? Because it stops the word of God going forward from being preached. It stops people from being fed the meat and potatoes of the word of God. Amen? A full course meal. That's why we come together. That's why it's so important to have church on Sunday mornings. God does something when we come together, when we sing together. Even spiritually, there's something that he does to bond, to have fellowship with one another. It's awesome. If there's one thing that can win the world to Christ, it's our unity. It's our peaceful living with one another. But if there's one thing that will keep people out of the church, it's bickering and fighting. And I'm sure we've all heard someone say, I'll never go to this church because they're always fighting over something else. So I speak this over this congregation. Let this be a place of God's peace. Amen? Amen. Peace is going to go forward from this house of the Lord. People always remember how they felt when they went to a place, when they went to someone's home. And this is our house where we meet with the Lord. And people remember. I was so excited to get an email from someone from a youth group from, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. Yesterday I received this email. And she said, I remember how you made me felt. How kind you were to me. And that was almost one of the most important things I read in that email. I was just like, yeah, that's great. We can all miss it on this. But that's why we're talking about this, so we can be reactors of peace in the world. Now, we're never told what, as my son Josiah said, read at the beginning of the scripture, and he said those names so perfectly, didn't he? Compared to last week when I was trying to say a whole bunch of names but Euodia and Syntyche. We're never told what in the Bible from the opening scripture what they were fighting over. But it was enough of a fight for the news or disagreement for the news to spread all the way to the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison. Everybody in the world hears when Christians aren't getting along. It's a bad witness for everyone. But Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 2, he says, I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. What do you agree on? In the Lord. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're all going to have differences. But thankfully, we all have so much in common through Jesus. And I love that because I love whenever I go to a different community or a different church and I find someone in a body of Christ, how instantly the Lord can bond people together. So I ask, how are you doing in treating one another peacefully in your family, in your neighborhood, or in your circle? Jesus said in Matthew 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace because peace is all about relationships. And the way we treat other mirrors how our own relationship with God is. God made a way of peace with us, even when we weren't in peace with Him. Hallelujah. So even in the midst of strife, we can be forebearers of peace. This is the only way to be salt and light in the world. So whatever you do, don't let those who have wronged you control you for the rest of your life. We choose to be peacemakers. Even in the middle of the world falling apart, especially in today's day and age, both inside and outside the church, people need to see peace. And we as believers who have the Spirit of God inside of us, we need to share that with everyone that we're around. That is why the church is the hope of the world. That's why God created the church. It's awesome. What was the peace that Christ brought us? It's the peace of knowing God's forgiveness. Hallelujah. The peace of having your guilt destroyed. Being made righteous with our Lord. The peace of living in the mercy and grace of God every day of our lives. The peace of being loved by Jesus and God. The peace of knowing the injustice and unfairness of this world that cannot exist in eternity. When our faith is firmly fixed on Jesus, we can go through this life with peace. Why? Because Jesus overcame the world. Now, I want to end by telling you a writing from a book from Catherine Marshall. Catherine Marshall wrote this: my friend Marge had an experience aboard a plane for Cleveland, waiting for takeoff. As she settled into her seat, Marge noticed a strange phenomenon. On one side of the airplane, a sunset suffused the entire sky with glorious color. But out of the window next to her seat, all Marge could see was a dark sky and threatening with no sign of the sunset. As the plane's engines began to roar, a gentle voice spoke within her. You have noticed the windows, he murmured, beneath the roar and thrust of the takeoff. Your life, too, will contain some happy, beautiful times, but also some dark shadows. Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save much heartache and allow you to abide in me with the continual peace and joy. You see, it doesn't matter which window you look through, this plane is still going to Cleveland. So it is with your life. You have a choice. You can dwell on the gloomy picture, or you can focus on the bright things and leave the dark, ominous situations to me. I alone can handle them. And the final destination is not influenced by what you see or feel along the way. Learn this and act on it, and you will be released, able to experience the peace that passes all understanding. Isn't that good? This is what Advent is about. To focus our minds and our hearts on Jesus, because he is our hope. He is our peace. He is the only true source of true joy. And he is the reason that any kind of love exists in our lives and in this world. And he doesn't do it alone. He does it through us as believers. Through his Holy Spirit working in our lives, through our circumstances. So I encourage each one of you, don't get down, don't get overwhelmed, but lift your eyes to the skies, because your redemption is drawing near. Where you put your focus on these days will depend if you live in peace or whether you live in anxiety or even terror. A lot of people might turn to other things, and a lot of people are trying to find a moment of peace, but Jesus has promised us an eternity of peace. But it's not just for eternity, it's for here, right now. Now, last week I said God has plans for you, plans to bless you, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Why? Because we are valuable to him. We are his children. He cares for you so much that he sent his son, Jesus. And now God's Spirit can dwell within us. God is working in your life. He has supernatural plans to use and to bless you. So I encourage you to step into this. To receive it this morning. Receive God's peace. Because God is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Isn't that awesome? And let us show the world that peace that we find that passes all understanding in Jesus. Through Jesus. John 20:21 says again, and again Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. That is for you this morning. Again, we have peace because God is with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. As we close this service, I just ask, let's just take a moment. I know, Rod, you had us do this at the beginning to welcome God's peace. And I want to do it again now. I want to close the service this way right now. Close the sermon with us right now as we go into communion. So let's just close our eyes. And if you're comfortable, just put your hands out in front of you, just gently. And say, Lord, I receive you. I receive your peace. Repeat this after me. Lord Jesus, I receive your peace. Fill me with your peace. Guide me with your peace. That I might be peace to everyone around me. No matter what circumstance, no matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what's going on around me, you fill me with peace. Thank you, Jesus, for the fruit of peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to